Today is Earth Day, and we will spend this hour reflecting on the health of our environment here in Wisconsin and around the world for that matter. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, April 22nd. We will talk with a longtime environmental advocate and a former state lawmaker about the health of Wisconsin's environment, the issues that he sees as threatening to it, and the steps for better stewardship. And we will welcome your questions and your Earth Day reflections for him. What's the environmental issue today that matters most to you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome Spencer Black, former 13-term Democratic State Representative. He was the author of numerous environmental efforts, including the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund, the Mining Moratorium Bill, the statewide recycling program, and many others. He is the vice president of the National Sierra Club. He's an adjunct professor of urban and regional planning at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and a columnist for the Capital Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and happy Earth Day.
Yeah, happy. Is it a happy Earth Day?
Well, unfortunately, it's a beautiful sunny spring day here. Mm-hmm. It is not the happiest of Earth Days for folks who care about the Wisconsin environment. I hate to say that.
Yeah, well, we'll talk a little bit about the threats that you see facing our environment here in Wisconsin. But maybe just remind us, this was the brainchild of our former Wisconsin governor and U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson. He founded Earth Day 44 years ago today. What was his hope?
Well, yes, 44 years ago, our own Wisconsin Senator, Governor Gaylord Nelson, came up with the idea of Earth Day. The first Earth Day was an incredible success. I think over 20 million people participated in events, and it led to many of the environmental laws that we have today and that has led us to make in many areas great progress over the last 44 years are traced directly to the public show of support for environmental protection that happened on that first Earth Day back in 1970. And I think that's exactly what Gaylord Nelson wanted. I remember sharing a stage with him on the 20th anniversary of Earth Day at the UW-Madison. And Gaylord was asked if there was one environmental law he could pass, what would it be? And he said without hesitation, environmental education. And I think that's what Earth Day was all about. Having people recognize how essential it is, not only to our future, but future generations' well-being, to protect the environment and to recognize that while we live in a state and country where we are blessed with a bountiful resources, that there are limits to what we can do to those resources, and we have to be conscious of that, and if we're not, we will pay the price.
How do you hope Wisconsinites will observe Earth Day today?
Well, my hope is that the citizens of Wisconsin will demand that their state government revert to our traditional role of being leaders in conservation. Wisconsin, over many years, has staked a wonderful reputation as a state that cares about the environment, has often set passed precedent-setting laws to protect the beauty of our state, the biological diversity, the scenic beauty, the natural values. We've lost that in the last few years, and my hope is that the citizens in the state will get together to demand that we return to the proud Wisconsin legacy of stewardship of our environment.
Yeah, you were the author, as I mentioned, of the state's mining moratorium law, which made it, critics say it made it too difficult to open a mine in Wisconsin. This was during your time in the state legislature. What's your take now on the changes to mining laws in Wisconsin and the push to open up the iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin?
Well, I think of the several threats I would list to the Wisconsin environment, probably number one is the effort to open what maybe one of the world's biggest, if not the biggest, open pit mine in the pristine Pinoki Hills in the headwaters of the Bad River. The size of this mine almost boggles the mind. Initially, it will be 1 mile, 1.5 miles wide, 4 miles long, and 1,000 foot deep. and eventually could be as long as 22 miles long. In the face of this, you would think that we would want strong environmental laws. If this mine were to be built, you would want the strongest of environmental protections. Unfortunately, in this last session, the legislature did the opposite. They essentially eviscerated our environmental protections. They passed legislation that was written by the lobbyists and lawyers of the out-of-state mining company that wishes to construct this massive open-pit mine. And if they are allowed to proceed under these regulations or lack of regulations, we face a significant threat to one of the most beautiful and pristine areas of the state, the Pinoakee Hills, to the Bad River watershed, and to Lake Superior, because the Bad River is one of the major tributaries of the Lake Superior, especially along the Wisconsin shoreline.
Now, why would this mine and what the legislature did to streamline the process, why would that threaten that area?
Well, if I might, Joy, I know the word streamline was used by the mining companies. I have to take exception to that.
I did air quotes when I said that, by the way.
Thanks for doing that. You know, it's like if we legalized running red lights and said that was streamlining driving. Basically, what it did is it removed most of the environmental protections we have concerning mining. For one thing, it wrote out, we've always had local citizens and government participation in looking at these mining permits. It basically wrote those local governments and citizens out of the process. But in terms of the environment, it did a number of things. It allows the mining company to take high volumes of water from rivers and lakes, not only on its property but nearby. It would allow mining companies to dump mining waste into wetlands and destroy wetlands. It explicitly in the law states that groundwater contamination by a mining company is allowed. Taken together, these measures, and also it really handicaps the ability of the regulatory agency to look at it. Taken together, if this was the regulatory scheme that oversaw this massive project, it could allow for significant degradation of the Bad River, one of our most beautiful rivers, the river that runs through Copper Falls State Park, and the Sacagan Sloughs, and also the Lake Superior shoreline in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, is there a way that this mine could be a good thing for Wisconsin? Is there any way that the need for protecting the environment can coexist with the need for jobs in that area?
Well, two things I think in that statement. One is, can this mine somehow be built without destruction of the environment? What I know for sure is it certainly can't be without a strong regulatory scheme. And if the mining company says it can't mine unless the environmental laws are basically eviscerated, that tells us that the mine is unlikely to be built under any circumstances without pollution of the environment, given where it is. In terms of jobs, this would produce, that has been the argument for the out-of-state mining company has made, but this would produce very few jobs for Wisconsin. The jobs that would be there are highly skilled jobs related to mining. People, for the most part in that area, do not have that skills, but there's an abundance of mining workers around the country who are used to moving to job sites who have these skills. So most of these jobs that might be created, and it wouldn't be all that many to begin with, would basically be filled by people who have these skills from other states, from mine sites that have been closed down. And the mining company itself has shown no desire to hire Wisconsin citizens. In fact, one of the few places where they've created jobs so far, which is security firms around their security personnel around their site, which we certainly have plenty of people who have those skills in Wisconsin, unlike the operating the heavy mining equipment. Those jobs were filled by a company from Arizona. For the one small task they've had, where there were half a dozen jobs or so, where people from Wisconsin obviously are qualified, they didn't even hire Wisconsin. They imported an out-of-state firm.
We are talking with a longtime environmental advocate and state representative, former state representative Spencer Black, about the threats facing the environment today on this Earth Day. And we're welcoming your thoughts, your questions, your concerns, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What environmental issue is on your mind today on this 44th Earth Day? This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today is Earth Day, and we are discussing the many environmental issues facing Wisconsin with former State Representative Spencer Black. Spencer Black is a former Democratic State Representative, author of numerous environmental initiatives, and is currently Vice President of the National Sierra Club. Many callers who want to also weigh in on this Earth Day on environmental matters, and John in Madison is with us first. Hi, John.
Hello.
Yes, go
well,
ahead.
My key issue is that we're not getting international effort on climate change. About a week ago, the IPCC report came out. This is the same agency that got the Nobel Prize with Al Gore on pointing out what was going on in the world. Their report says that unless by 2050 we get our CO2 levels between 40% and 70% reduced from what they are right now, we can expect over 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit temperature changes and all the horror that's associated with that by the turn of the century. And the key thing of this is it's an optimistic report. It says we can do it with the technologies we have right now. Solar panels have come down 75% in price over the last 10 years. We've got the technology, and the cost to the world economy will not be 1%, not 0.1%, but 0.06%. Paul Krugman wrote a column in the New York Times about this last week. So it can be done. All we need is concerted effort. But we have got to deal with CO2 emissions. That's 80% of the problem. It can be addressed in a three-pronged attack, decreased use of energy sources like use light bulbs, clean cars, energy-efficient appliances, efficient management of forests and agriculture. But the key thing, again, no more coal-fired utilities and industry. Yeah. Not even natural gas. That reduces emissions compared to coal-fired utilities by about 50 to 70%.
Yeah. So thank you, John. Lots of climate change and reducing CO2 emissions is key to him. What about you, Spencer Black?
Well, it's key to me, too, and it should be key to everybody. And in my work with the Sierra Club, I don't think there's any issue I spend more time on than the issue of climate disruption. And I like to use the term climate disruption because that's really what we're talking about. When we heat the atmosphere up, we start a chain of events to some extent not completely predictable, that really upsets the delicate basis of the world climate that we depend on. And we have been putting, both not only the United States, but the world as a whole, carbon dioxide in the air. In other words, we're taking carbon that has been sequestered in the earth in the form of coal, natural gas, oil, over a period of more than 600 million years, and putting it back into the atmosphere in a matter of 100 or 200 years. So we've increased the level of CO2 in our atmosphere from less than 300 parts per million to readings now of over 400 parts per million. What that does, it traps heat in the earth, and that increased heat, as he said, we're looking at, we've already increased the heat by over a degree, but we're looking at the current trend of increasing it just in the next couple decades by close to 4 degrees Fahrenheit. That really changes the world weather systems. We're beginning to see some impacts of that, but the impacts are to come. They'll really visit our children and our grandchildren in some very negative ways. So the most important thing we can do, and it would be a good thing to do for our country and for the world, is move us towards a clean energy economy by using energy more efficiently and relying on renewable sources. Now, a good news thing on this Earth Day is renewable energy is just absolutely booming in the United States. Solar energy and wind energy is growing faster than virtually any other segment of the economy. It is increasing jobs by a rate that's double and triple other segments of the economy. And many states, although Wisconsin, unfortunately, while once a leader, is not sharing the renewable energy boom, are getting an increasing share in some states and some days as much as 60% of their electric energy from renewable sources, and they are creating jobs very rapidly by harnessing the wind and the sun.
How come Wisconsin's lagging behind on green jobs?
Well, I think it's really policies. We've seen a number of the policies we've had in terms of energy conservation favoring renewable sources like wind and solar. Many of those policies, which at one time were leading the country, at one time, for example, Wisconsin was number one in energy conservation, have been cut back. Our focus on energy program has been outsourced from Wisconsin companies to out-of-state companies. It's been handicapped. Our policies favoring solar energy have been kneecapped. And we've passed some policies that make it difficult to build wind turbines. Taken together, Wisconsin really has been not done much about renewable energy in the last few years, even though at one time we were leaders. Meanwhile, other states, and some states that are quite red, like places like Texas and the Dakotas, are just leaping ahead of us, just investing very heavily in renewable energy and reaping in the benefits in increased jobs. So Wisconsin is one of the states that's lagging behind in job creation very severely compared to the rest of the country. The states that have invested in renewable energy have been getting three benefits. One, obviously, the environmental benefit. Secondly, the benefit of a very significant increase in employment. And then the third benefit is those states with the greatest investment in wind energy have the lowest electric rates.
Yeah. Well, one area where we hear Wisconsin is booming is in frack sand mining. What are your thoughts on this phenomenon?
Well, that's another threat to the environment, and one that we're not dealing with adequately. Probably many of your listeners know, maybe not all, that Wisconsin has a type of sand, especially in the western part of the state, that is valuable to be used in hydraulic fracturing or frack sand, fracture mining for natural gas and oil in other states. We don't have the shale that has those fossil fuel deposits, but we have the sand that seems essential to the operation. So we've had over 130 of these frack sand mines under operation in western Wisconsin, and in many cases, they've led to environmental pollution, and our DNR, which has become, and this is another topic, which has become increasingly politically controlled under Walker and much less aggressive in terms of enforcing environmental regulations, has for a long time took almost a hands-off attitude towards frack sand mining and still, even now, is taking a very laid-back attitude towards this activity, even though it has already caused some environmental pollution and poses significant threats to the environment of western Wisconsin.
We'll talk about the DNR political question in a moment, but Brad in Jefferson has another issue he'd like to bring up. Hi, Brad.
Hi. It seems that many of the environmental groups focus on this global warming problem. I think that just as important as that is our pollution problem. The cumulative effect of all these toxic chemicals that humans are introducing into new places, like our soil, food supply, air, water. You've got all these pharmaceuticals going into our environment, plastics that are related to chemicals, waste from factory farming, industry, fertilizers, pesticides. All these different things, I think, are affecting human beings in a negative way, and I think that's just as important.
Do you think it's just as important, Spencer Black?
Well, they're both important, and I don't know if I want to rate them, but we have introduced a lot of different chemicals, new compounds into our environment. If you scan the human body, many of them have been absorbed by humans. Some of them we know have ill health effects. Many of them we don't know what the health effects are, and we certainly don't know what the synergistic effects are. In other words, what effects multiple chemicals might have in your body. We've taken some action in Wisconsin on some of these issues over the years. And for those, we can be proud. But it is a very big problem and one especially, I mean, he mentioned a number of different elements where more needs to be done. And in some cases, Wisconsin, especially the legislature, has taken a couple steps back in working on them. I might mention, however, the issue of pollution of our air, putting carbon dioxide in our environment and toxics in our air are not unrelated. In other words, some of the chemicals we have to deal with, especially in terms of air pollution and in some cases water pollution because they're deposited like mercury from the air into our waters, come from the very same fossil fuel sources that contribute to global warming. So in some cases, these are not separate issues.
Well, we have a news break coming up in less than a minute, so let's just remind listeners that we are talking about environmental issues on this Earth Day with former State Representative Spencer Black, author of numerous environmental efforts, including the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Fund, the Mining Moratorium Bill, the Statewide Recycling Program. We're talking with him about the health of our natural resources today, the environment today, and what needs to be done to ensure that they continue to be healthy in the years to come. And we invite you to join us. What's the most important environmental issue as far as you're concerned? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's Earth Day. Do you know how your environment is doing? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the state of Wisconsin's environment on this 44th Earth Day with Spencer Black. He's a former 13-term Democratic State Representative from Madison. He was the author of numerous environmental efforts, including the Stewardship Fund, the Mining Moratorium Bill, the Statewide Recycling Program. He is Vice President of the National Sierra Club, Adjunct Professor of Urban and Regional Planning at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and a columnist for the Capital Times. And he's talking with us about various threats to Wisconsin's environment and the world's environment, for that matter, on this Earth Day, and welcoming the issues that matter most to you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So are you doing anything to help the environment? Are you doing anything to observe Earth Day today? Let's take another caller, Gregory in River Falls. Hi, Gregory.
Hi there. Good morning and happy Earth Day.
Yeah, happy Earth Day to you. What are you up to?
So on this Earth Day, a group of mine on campus, we're doing a campus-wide cleanup here in River Falls. And the issue that matters the most to us is a movement that's been started throughout the UW system. It's a divestment movement. There's multiple campuses in the state. And we believe it's wrong for our schools to profit off of climate change. And we ask that our schools divest their monies out of the top 200 oil and gas companies.
How's that? Is it working for you?
Well, we're still in the process of getting all of our research together and talking with the chancellor. And we've been making our presence known on campus. We actually organized a trip with multiple other UW schools. We took a trip to Washington, D.C. We participated in an event called XL Dissent, which was a protest against the Keystone Pipeline.
Yeah.
And really our goal right now is just making our voices heard and knowing that there are students on this campus who care. And it's going to be our generation, we believe, that has to do something about this. And we want to make our voices heard, you know?
Well, Spencer, does that give you hope?
Well, it sure does. And I mean, Gregory, thanks so much for your call. It's going to be young people like Gregory that make the difference. I think folks like me who celebrated the first Earth Day have done a lot, and we still have a lot to contribute. But really, the future lies with young people and their commitment. The good news is if you look at polls that have been done of attitudes of young people, protecting the environment is very close to the top of the list of their concerns, as it should be. Because things like climate disruption, impacts on our groundwater, if we fail to protect our wildlands, they are the ones that are going to be most affected. Protecting our environment, our outdoors, is really an intergenerational issue. We can do things to the environment today that are maybe a little cheaper, more convenient, more profitable for some corporations. And in many cases, the impacts of those actions don't show up for years or even decades. We are dealing now with things that were done many, many decades ago that impacted the environment, such as deposition of PCBs in our waterways. So it should be the young people who have led the fight, and I think historically in all sorts of social movements, young people have been at the vanguard. There's been a real effort across the country amongst young people to look at climate disruption. One of the ways this is manifesting itself is in this effort to divest from fossil fuel companies, and in fact many campuses, not in Wisconsin, but around the country, have divested from these investments because they want to make a statement about the importance of leading us to a clean energy economy that will provide a much sounder future, both economically and environmentally, for future generations, for folks like Gregory.
Speaking of the Keystone XL pipeline, President Obama over the weekend said he's going to delay a decision on whether to approve that pipeline extension. What do you think is behind the delay, and you know, what's your reaction to that?
Well, the immediate cause for delay is there are some legal suits that are pending in the state of Nebraska where the pipeline would cross. So you can't really evaluate the pipeline until you know where it's going, and you won't know where it's going until those legal suits are settled. So I think it only made sense to wait till the end of that legal action. In the long run, of course, the XL pipeline, which would enable massive development of the tar sands, one of the dirtiest sources of fossil fuels in Canada, to traverse the United States so it could be exported to other countries. This pipeline is a bad deal for not only the states it goes across, but for our global environment, especially in terms of climate disruption. So any delay is a good thing in that sense. I wish the president had just stepped up and said, no, we're not going to do this because it is not necessary and it's contrary to protection of the environment. There's many things we can do to provide energy much, much cleaner than this. But the delay, waiting for those court cases, is good news.
Yeah. Do you think he'll ultimately say no?
I think, I don't know. Yeah. But to be honest, but I think, you know, he has said two things. One, he has said fighting climate disruption is the top of his agenda. And secondly, he is going to evaluate the XL pipeline based on whether it exacerbates climate disruption. If he does that, then he will certainly have to say no.
Yeah. We'll get into some other other things that we can be happy about when it comes to our environment or proud about. But let's also talk about an issue you brought up in our first half hour that I said we'd get back to, that the politicizing of the Department of Natural Resources. What's wrong here?
Well, what's wrong is Wisconsin, for over 70 years, almost 70 years, had a proud tradition of our conservation agency being at least somewhat removed from day-to-day political influence. You mentioned a few of the battles when I was in the legislature that I won, Joy. One of the ones I did not win, I lost, was fighting to maintain the non-political, the independent status of the Department of Natural Resources. That passed under Tommy Thompson, but we're now just now seeing the full effects of what that means. Governor Walker has done two things. First, he doesn't have a very good environmental record, and secondly, he's willing to, as we all know, use the power of the governor's office very strongly. That combination has led to a DNR that has been very weak on enforcing our environmental laws and in some cases has done things that are rather egregious in terms of our environment, not what you'd expect from a conservation agency, that show the influence of political control on our natural resource agency. For example, enforcement actions against environmental polluters have fallen by more than 50% in the last few years. We've seen cases where there was an effort to divert money from folks who hunt and fish to a politically controlled agency, politically controlled, a politically favored organization that had just been set up largely by political operatives that had no experience in education and hunting and fishing. We've seen slaps on the wrist to some very severe polluters. So at one time, our DNR was held up as the example of what an environmental enforcement agency should do. But I'm afraid with political control and political appointees who don't have very good environmental records in the top positions running this agency, we've seen a striking decrease in the effectiveness of our conservation agency. And I would urge our legislators, although perhaps it's a vain hope, to return us to the system that the great Wisconsin conservationist Otto Leopold set up in the 1920s that worked so well, that kept day-to-day political influence removed from our conservation agency. So decisions about our outdoors were based on science and what was good for the environment, not based on what was good for politicians.
Mm. Well, I have follow-ups there, but we also have Gary in Boscobel who's been waiting. So hi, Gary. What are you doing today in honor of Earth Day?
Well, I'm going to do the same thing I've been doing for about 35 years, but I'll relish it a little more today. Is I'm going to go out and do some prairie restoration work, and it's in desperate need because our prairies are almost gone here in Wisconsin. We have 0.1% of them left, so each and every site holds a myriad of endangered and threatened species, and I'd just like to put in a plug for the prairie enthusiasts, which can be found on the internet, and people who want to get involved locally and directly saving endangered and threatened native species. We're always looking for volunteers. We've got tons of projects in three different states, and lots of things for volunteers to do, and lots of interesting thing for volunteers to learn. So that's part of my activity for celebrating and caring for our earth.
Thank you, Gary, and thank you for doing that. Prairie restoration, a worthy thing, Spencer?
Well, obviously, yes, and thanks to Gary. It's a good way to celebrate Earth Day, and it brings to mind the fact that we protect our environment not only through the large-scale actions that are taken by our government, but also by our individual actions and people who go out, and it's an arduous job to restore our prairies, to get rid of some of the invasive species that threaten them, are doing good work. And this brings us back to maybe one of the good things. Back some more than 20 years ago, I helped pass the Nelson Dole Stewardship Fund, probably the state's major conservation program to protect the best of what's left of us outdoors. And since that program started in 1990, we've protected over 600,000 acres of some of the most important natural areas as well as scenic and recreational areas in the state of Wisconsin, including where we can, the prairies that remained and areas that were prairies that can be restored. And that has helped contribute to protect this landform once, especially in southern Wisconsin, millions and millions of acres were native grasslands, both prairie and oak savanna, and virtually all those have been lost. And through the Nelson Dole Stewardship Fund, we have preserved many of those areas that are left and also some of those areas that have been prairie that can be restored to their natural beauty. It's a not only a scenically beautiful ecosystem, but as Gary mentioned, in terms of biology, an incredibly rich system.
Yeah. Briefly, Spencer, was there a threat to the stewardship fund in the last budget cycle, or am I imagining things?
No, I wish you were. Unfortunately not. And it wasn't just a threat. It was an action. Both in this last budget and the budget before, what happened in the session before this, the stewardship fund, the Nelson Dole stewardship fund was cut by 30%, and it was cut again by 20% in this last budget. In addition, numerous rules were passed that in many cases handy, and I won't go through the details, but the bottom line is numerous restrictions and rules were passed on this that makes it very hard for the fund to operate even with the reduced funding. In addition, the legislature and the governor required that 10,000 acres of land that have been acquired from the stewardship fund to protect our natural resources be sold off to private investors, so that we have seen tremendous steps back. The Nelson Knowles Stewardship Fund, which is it has done a great deal for the state, but unfortunately, the current crop of politicians in the state capitol are taking us backwards in that regard. I should mention, if I can, the Nelson Knowles Stewardship Fund is obviously named after two former governors, one Gaylord Nelson, who was the founder of Earth Day and a great conservationist both at the state and national level, but also Governor Warren Knowles, who also kept up the stewardship tradition. Now, what's interesting about that is Nelson was a Democrat, Knowles was a Republican.
That's right.
They worked together. In fact, when I developed the stewardship fund, I worked very closely with both former governors to develop it. And it was a time, especially when I first came to the legislature, that protecting the environment was far more bipartisan than it is today. And I think it's unfortunate we've lost that because those are two fellas from opposite parties who both were committed to the environment and were able to work together to protect our native landscape. And Gary, who called, who's from Boscobel, is in the lower Wisconsin River Valley. And this summer, we're going to be celebrating 25 years since we established the Lower Wisconsin Riverway, one of the pilot projects to protect one of the great environmental assets and natural assets of southern Wisconsin. And that, again, was something that I was able to do with Senator Dale Schultz, a Republican, and former Governor Tommy Thompson, also a Republican. So in the past, we've been able to compromise across party lines and work together to protect the environment. One of the things that I think is unfortunate, both at the state and national levels, is we've lost that bipartisan cooperation on the environment. And if I have one Earth Day wish, that we would restore that going forward.
We are talking with Spencer Black. He is vice president of the National Sierra Club. He is an adjunct professor of urban and regional planning at UW-Madison, and he is a former 13-term Democratic state representative who was the author of numerous environmental initiatives. Talking to him on this Earth Day about the state of Wisconsin's environment. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with Spencer Black on this Earth Day, and Katie in Bayfield is with us next. Hello, Katie.
Hi. Firstly, I'd like to thank you very much, Spencer, for all the work that you've been doing. My concern, and I guess what I wanted to bring up about this whole topic, is the idea that, and I've heard it reiterated today, but the idea that it's Earth Day, and it's one day once a year. And then the conversation that's continued, even here on the program, about, well, what's the one thing you're really concerned about? And I'm a young person, all younger, and but I was raised during all of this initial mining. I was raised by the folks who created, you know, the Green Party here in Wisconsin, and I spent time with them, and one of I was with these guys just this past weekend, actually, and I teased them. I said, God, you old guys, I love you so much, and I miss you all so much, but you forgot us sometimes. I was there all the time. I was raised there, but not all of us young, they couldn't figure out why. Why aren't these kids coming? Why aren't they listening to us? Why aren't they talking to us about this? And You have to be steeped in it every single day. You have to be brought up in it every single day and raised to it every single day. And I'm an American Indian, very fortunate to be an Anishinaabe from here in Wisconsin. And not only was I raised in it culturally, not only was I raised in it socially, not only was I raised in it, you know, now here coming back to a lot of my own things, our language speaks that way. And what I'm worried and scared for, especially American society, is the disconnect of, well, we are one thing, the environment is another thing, and the connection between the two isn't strong enough to just for people to wake up and realize every single morning, like, this is where I belong, this is where I'm from, this is. And I think that disconnect can extend out throughout many of American society's issues and troubles, But it's very apparent. It's very apparent here, especially in the environmental needs of here in America.
Katie, let me get Spencer Black to respond. Is there a disconnect, Spencer?
Well, I think Katie makes a very good point. Obviously, we should take a day to especially celebrate our environmental successes and threats, but it is an everyday thing. And Katie mentioned she's Native American, and I think what I would mention is that one of the things that I think Native Americans have contributed to our thought about the environment is that they make decisions or tend to make decisions based on how it will affect seven generations. That is a way of thinking that we should use for all the decisions we make, not just how it will affect us today or the next quarterly statement or the next year, but what are the decisions we're making, especially about our outdoors, how will they affect seven generations from today? And if we had that perspective, we would be making very different decisions as a society.
Yeah, get Gail in Wauwatosa on before we end. Hi, Gail. I understand you've got some plans for Earth Day.
I certainly do. I am going to be leading a trip in the Cedarburg Bog in Sockville as part of a Natural Resources Foundation hike. They have, 300-plus hikes all throughout the state throughout the year. And we are going to be listening to different frog calls. And we're going to be watching the sky dance of the woodcock tonight, something that Aldo Leopold talks about in his Sand County Almanac. So I just want to say thank you to the Natural Resources Foundation for supporting these trips. And I hope everybody connects to the earth in some way today, because we are so fortunate to have what we have here in Wisconsin. Not dealing with the air pollution and water pollution that other areas do. So thank you.
Thank you, Gail. And I want to go listen to frog calls and see woodcocks dance. But Spencer, what do you hope people do for Earth Day today?
Well, I think they stop and appreciate how important our environment to us is. Consider the fact that we've done a lot in the 44 years since Earth Day first came about, that we've made a lot of progress. You think of how our air and our water in many ways is cleaner, how we've protected many wilderness areas, we've protected over 600,000 acres of outdoor Wisconsin. So first, take a moment to just think that even though we have threats to the environment, it's a constant fight, that we've made a lot of progress. And we've only made that progress because citizens care, because people have gotten together through organizations, through individual actions, and expressed their concern about protecting the environment. And that, while it sometimes seems daunting, we have made progress. And that's the thing that I hope folks keep in mind. And I also hope they do, like Gail, get out and enjoy the outdoors, because it's not just a question of protecting the outdoors. It's a question of taking joy in the glory of the beautiful environment we've been given.
Yeah. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy. Great talking to you again.
Yes, we'll have to do this again sometime soon. Spencer Black, former Democratic state representative, author of numerous environmental laws in Wisconsin, currently vice president of the National Sierra Club, talking with us about Earth Day. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Robin Cherry for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.